sometimes the things of sin, and we go, you know, it really don't look all that bad, and it really doesn't look like he could have wrecked that much havoc in my life. And then you go ahead and you taste it, and it really didn't happen. Nothing happened right then. But then, after that, all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, I went too far. Thanks be to God for his grace and mercy.
Thank you.
I won't leave that out, because if it wasn't for mercy, if it wasn't for his grace, oh, where would I be? Amen. Thank God for that. Verse number 8, it said, beware. You think that says beware just because?
No.
You think there's some type of danger here? He's telling us there's danger here. You got to walk up. You got to be rooted. You got to be built up. Well, how are you going to walk if you don't know what you're going to walk by? Yeah. How are you going to be rooted if you don't know what you're rooted in?
Yeah.
How are you going to be built up? I'm going to tell somebody here today for the umpteenth million times. Just because you got the Holy Ghost, if you don't ever get your nose in that book, you're never going to grow.
That's right.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You're never going to be built up. You're not going to know how to walk.
Yep.
Because this is your ticket. This is your ticket. How to walk, how to talk, how to live, how to act, how to do everything.
That's right.
Amen.
So he said, beware, lest any man spoil you through what?
Philosophy.
Through philosophy and through vain deceit. Look here. The next phrase is after the traditions of men. Ooh, what am I going to be aware of? I got to be aware of being spoiled. Now let me use that term right now. That word spoil means to be carried away captive. Beware lest any man carry you away captive in philosophy, in vain deceit, in the traditions of men. After the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware lest somebody take you and hold you captive. Come here, skinny bones. I'm going to take him captive. Boom. He's my captive. I got a captive. And I'm going to take him over here and force him. He's got nothing to talk. He really ain't got much to talk. He may think he can break loose right about now, but there ain't much that he can do with us. I got him. And he knows it. He's kind of flexing his muscles right now, but matter of fact, his ribs are about ready to crack. Wants to come in and take you captive and bring you and drag you into some type of philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of men, rudiments of the world, and then he said, and not after Christ.
That's right.
Not after Christ. Thank you, son. Man, I'll pick on you a lot today. Today's your day.
Let it be, Lord.
Man, now Paul himself. Understand this, though. Paul himself was a great philosopher. Paul himself was a great philosopher. So he wasn't condemning philosophy in and of itself. He was condemning human philosophy. Because that's what was going on is in the Gnosticism, they were believing in human philosophy. The whole problem with the church at Colossae, the false doctrine that was coming in, is they were believing in themselves and doing things of the traditions of men, incorporating that into their Christianity and not after Christ. And that's what he was saying. Beware. Don't let this happen to you. There are so many man-made approaches to life's problems that totally disregard God.
Amen. Yeah.
totally disregard God.
And we have got a nation that's hooked on drugs that is totally disregarding God.
Right.
But it's under human philosophy. It's under human thinking. We'll take this for this and take that for that and do this for this. And it's all in humanism. It's all in the way that we as finite humans think. We can't think like an infinite God. Therefore, we are to be in Christ. So we don't think like the world thinks. You've got to study to know what God thinks and what God feels. Again, I'm not. It's necessary. It's necessary. Just because you have the Holy Ghost and you don't read your Bible, you don't know how God thinks.
Right. Amen.
You can't.
Your heart is desperately wicked. That's what the Bible said.
Right.
Your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know?
Yeah. Who can know? You think you've got control over yourself. And there's some of you arrogant people here right now, even today. And I'm going to preach hard at you right now. I'm going to bust that arrogant attitude. Say, oh, you're mean. No, I'm not being mean. I'm just spirit that wants to attach itself, that is of the world. Human thought, well, I can do this. I can. No, you can't. You can't do it on your own. And the more you think that you can, the greater fall you're fixing to have. And so I am preaching to you, beware. You keep depending on your human self, and you're going to fall flat on your face and make a fool out of yourself.
Right.
No, not me. I can do this. Okay, go ahead.
Forget this.
You cannot know. I'll preach to somebody else. You cannot know what God thinks.
That's right.
You cannot know what God feels if you don't get in His Word.
That's right.
You can know it. You can think you know, because if you follow after your heart all you want, and you're just going to lead you in all kinds of crazy things. Because all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Everything of your heart's desire deals with lust. Everything. And it deals with your pride. I can preach on that one, but I better not. I gotta stay focused. My ADHD is digging in, and no, I don't take meds. I take a good old dose of the Holy Ghost and it
fixes it. Amen. Amen. Come on.
Oh yeah, you depend on all those meds you want, but I'm going to tell you that the Holy Ghost will fix your depression. The Holy Ghost will fix your anxiety. The Holy Ghost will fix your kitchen deficits. The Holy Ghost will fix those things.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Oh yeah,
I do.
It'll change you. The Holy Ghost will change you. There's some people in here that you were on those antidepressants before you got the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost sets you free, and you ain't on those antidepressants no more.
Oh, bless the name of
Jesus. The damn one of them. Me.
I don't do that stuff anymore.
Don't do it no more.
Praise God.
Amen. Because the Holy Ghost will change you. You got to know what God thinks. You got to know what He feels. You got to know what His desires are. How do you know that? Unless you read the Word of God. Verse 9 says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness." In who? In Jesus Christ dwelleth all. There's that little three-letter word, all again. It doesn't leave anything out. Some people want to say, well, God can't supply this and God can't do that. I guarantee you, if you had the right attitude, God would blow your ever-living mind. But because of your arrogancy and your pride, He's like, you know what? You don't believe me whether or not I did or not. But I've seen it time and time again. Can God do this? And how about some of them good old Bible stories that happened? Oh, if God were to open up the windows of heaven, this thing could not be. All right, buddy, you're going to see it, but you're not going to taste thereof. And God sends a couple lepers out to the enemy's camp, and the enemy thinks that it's the armies of the whole world coming against them. And they flee. And they come into the camp and say, hey, man, it's fresh turkey dinner. It's ham and and they start eating, and they go, oh, we do not well. And they run back to the city because they realize everybody's starving back at the city. They run back and say, hey, y'all, there's plenty of food out here. And the dude that said this thing could not be was the guy that was opening the gate.
That's right.
And when he opened the gate, he got trampled.
That's right.
He got to see it, but he didn't get the taste. Go ahead. Mock God. Say, oh, God can't do this. You may be the one that gets to see it, but never gets to taste of it. You might be the one that says, ah, no, not revival here. You may get to see it, but never get to experience the revival that God has waiting so far for church. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, you might go ahead, you may get to see the permission. You may need to see it come to pass, but you don't get to partake because you too much in your arrogance and your pride and say, as God opened up the window of heaven. I'm telling you, this Bible said it's all. It is all in Him. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You see it again? Paul. Now, we're only to verse number 9. Three times he stresses the emphasis on the oneness of God and that everything is in Jesus Christ.
Yes, it is.
Quincy, come here. You got a knife on you?
Got a knife on you?
Cut that man. Water.
We got a lemon, right?
Yeah, man, start squeezing that lemon just a little bit in there. Do you want me to squeeze it? All right, that's good.
The lemon is in the water. And the water is in the lemon.
Right?
Amen. The lemon is greater than the water. Yet this is still one drink, isn't it?
That's right.
Lemon is invisible, but he that has seen the water has seen the lemon.
Amen. Amen.
Are you getting my picture?
Yes.
Amen. The lemon without the water is too fiery.
Right.
He probably likes lemon. I probably picked the wrong guy. It was funny the other day, my dad and I were talking about the lemon, and we were talking about kids eating lemons and stuff like that. And Adelina will eat a lemon like it's, you know, no big deal. But she'd be a bad one to do. But the lemon, that says, man, my mouth's already puckering. It's probably puckering right now. Just looking at that lemon. Mine too. I'm going, I can taste that already. I ain't even got to stick that lemon in my mouth, and I already know what it tastes like.
Right.
Huh? And it's too strong for it by itself. The lemon's too strong for it by itself, but the water becomes the mediator between us.
Right.
So whosoever accepts the water accepts the lemon.
That's right.
Huh?
Yeah.
And therefore we say, oh, taste and see that the drink is good. Right?
Right.
So we have what is too strong for us by itself, and we have a mediator between us. And we put that all together, but you ain't never, I want somebody to come up here that's so smart and separate the lemon from the water. Come on. Separate the lemon from the water. Separate God from the mediator, Christ Jesus.
You've got to be smart enough, Sister Melissa. Please start. Please start.
Somebody's got to be here that can separate this lemon from the water.
You can't do it, can you, Brother Dearborn? It's one. It's one. It's one. It's one in the same.
Yes, sir.
Brother Steve Scarrow went and dumped it on.
I don't need to be baptized with lemon water.
see that this oneness of God is so good, it's so rich, it's so fulfilling, it's not overpowering, it's just right. Well, let's clap our hands. For the very next scripture, he says, and ye are complete. Everybody say complete.
Complete.
I am complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You feeling incomplete, like I testified to that young lady last night at Starbucks. In him are you made complete. You don't have to deal with that hole in your heart. You don't have to deal with the frustration and the confusion. You can be complete in Jesus Christ. We already have all we need through the Spirit. I want you to look around. I guess you can't look around right now. You can, but in a different venue, if I can say it that way. People all around you are searching for something to give their lives a boost.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Everywhere around you, they're not satisfied here. That's why every Friday night, the clubs are packed out. On Saturday night, yes, the clubs are packed out. Why? Because they're trying to find some fulfillment. And they worked all week long, and they blew their paycheck on Friday and Saturday, and they're waking up from their hangover on Sunday just to do it all over again on Monday. But today, I'm not waking up from a hangover of what I was wondering what I did the last couple of days. Because I'm complete in him, I have happiness, I have joy, I have contentment, I have everything that I need in Jesus Christ. Very few people are really content with themselves, and I think that if we were to really be honest, we could even say that there's quite a few in this building today that you're really not satisfied. You're really not content in yourself.
Yes.
That's why you reach out for other things continually. A strange and often hard to identify vacuum, inner vacuum, gives most of us this uneasy sense of incompleteness. And as I was studying, I had wrote that note. I had wrote those notes before I met this young lady. And then God forevermore reiterated to me as she even used the word an inner vacuum and not feeling complete. I said, oh God, this is it. There's so many people in this world that they just don't feel complete. And they're constantly stuffing this in that hole and stuffing that in that void and stuffing this and stuffing that, and they can never find completeness.
Yeah, you can't stuff
enough. There's even some of us here today that we didn't even come to church, but we have let the religious aspect of church become our crutch instead of Christ.
Yes.
We've let the religious side of coming to church become our crutch instead of everything being in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Right.
Oh,
right.
Oh, yes.
You're a new creature in Christ. That goes into chapter number 3, but I'm going to just tag in with it for a second. You are a new creature. You're equipped. When you become this new creature in Christ, you are given the right equipment for life, to be satisfied, to be fulfilled. All of a sudden, now you can start taking some risks that you didn't take before because you know God will guide you.
Yeah, that's awesome there. Yeah.
Well, you give more generously because you know God will supply.
Yeah.
You love more freely because God's going to be your love. Of your life.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, man. You start to say, I can. You start to say, I can. Because you realize it's Christ in you. You realize that I'm not doing this of my own ability, of my own power. And then God turns around and amazes you and you go, wow. I said I can, and I was really kind of hesitant to step out and do it, and then all of a sudden God just wowed me. Some of y'all are living in that wow factor right now. Because you've been stepping out and saying, okay, God, I'm gonna put this thing to the test. I'm going to give everything to you.
Yeah.
Like, wow, that's pretty cool. Here, let me do something else for you, God. And you go, wow.
Amen.
Right.
Come on.
There's only a couple of you that are trying that. You want the rest to get on board and try it. It's pretty cool. Amen.
Yeah.
You're complete in Him if. Everybody say if.
Yeah.
If you let Him complete you.
Yeah.
I said you're complete in Him if you let Him complete you.
Right. Amen.
Too often, we lean on the strong arm of our flesh. And we say, well, I can do this. Most of us guys are really, really guilty of this. Probably more so than anybody. I'm a man.
Yeah, sure.
No, you're a doofus.
Yep.
You just called me a doofus.
Say it again, sir.
Yeah. You're a doofus. Come on, you can't lean on the strong arm of your flesh. And I'm, I'm telling you, I'm being kind. I want you to know I love you. I care about you. But when you lean on the strong arm of your flesh, you're never really going to get anywhere in your walk with God. You say, oh, I want to be a Christian. I want to live right. And you continually fall on your face. You know why? Because you're doing it in the strong arm of your flesh. You're not allowing Christ to complete you. Why in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. Said, according to His divine power, hath given unto us. According to His divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us. Exceeding. Look at this word that is used. Which are given us exceeding great precious.
Oh yeah.
Does that stir anybody like that?
Oh yeah.
Man, that just looks under me like big time.
Exceeding. Ooh, that's cool. Great. Ooh, man, that was a multiplier. Precious. Woohoo! Promises.
Promises was good enough. But he didn't stop with his promises, Brother Miles.
He said, exceeding great precious promises. It's not an ordinary promise. It's not an itty bitty teeny weeny promise. It's a exceeding great and precious promise. That by these ye might be partakers of that divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, according to His divine power.
I don't walk on my own.
I don't walk on my own ability. I don't walk on my own understanding. I don't walk on my own power. I'm not building up of my own wisdom.
Right.
But it's according to His divine power that all of these things are given, added, multiplied.
So we go to verse number 11.
It says, in whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision, without made without hands. Very important. Made without hands. In putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Let's talk about this in just a moment. Circumcision was a way to enter into God's holy covenant in the Old Testament.
That's right.
Spiritual circumcision is made without hands, that is referenced here, is the way of the New Testament covenant. It's the way to enter into the New Testament covenant. All right? Among the redemptive covenants of the scripture, the most comprehensive one is that of Abraham. The covenant of Abraham. there is, it is implied or explicitly includes all of these previous and subsequent promises of God, right? Now, when we take that, it's the ultimate fulfillment that is found, that Israel was promised, but is found now in the New Testament church. So this old covenant, this old will, is now fulfilled and brought to life in the New Testament. I even said it the other night, and testifying to this young lady and in speaking to her on this. Everything that is of the Old Testament and the New Testament is all about relationship.
Right, yeah.
And he takes all of these promises of the Old Testament and combines them with the New Testament and brings about that fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why he says, in him dwelleth all the fullness. That's why it says, we are complete in him. Because everything from the very beginning of time until now is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. So, this Abrahamic covenant is rightly referred to in Acts chapter 7 and verse number 8 as the covenant of circumcision. So he said, Stephen here says in Acts chapter 7 verse number 8, he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. Talking about that circumcision or that covenantal seal. From that very moment that God made that covenant with Abraham, the world would forever be divided in two groups. One of circumcision and the other of uncircumcision. Now the Old Testament, he divided it as Jew and Gentile. But when he got to the New Testament, he said, there's neither Greek or Jew, but they're all alike. Yes. He said, they're all alike, because now it's not circumcision of the flesh, but it's circumcision of the heart. It comes on the inside, and it's not just on the outside.
Amen.
So now we become the children of Abraham through the New Testament covenant of circumcision of the heart. Galatians 2 and 11 said, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But I'm thankful today that he made that covenant available through to me through a spiritual covenant not made with hands, and that is through baptism. There is the separation. There is that covenant that we step into. Only after. Can I take a few more minutes here?
Sure, yeah.
Only after the physical act of circumcision did the covenant relationship exist in God's mind.